What is a play?
I give up.
Oh, damn.
This is going to be a very short podcast. Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 535. What's a play? Last summer of 2016, when Reed Martin, Teddy Spencer, and I were in Edinburgh performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Fringe Festival, after one performance, we gathered in one of the Pleasance Courtyard pubs to talk about the many different plays and pieces of theater we were seeing, and it led us to consider the question of what exactly is a play. It's also a question I've been discussing with my students here at Pacific University, along with broader questions of what defines theater and what makes theater unique. And I'm glad I finally had the chance to let you hear my conversation with Teddy and Reed. We saw a lot of shows at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Some of them plays. Most of the plays were serious plays. We saw very few comic plays. Then we saw a lot of shows that were theatrical, but without being a play. And I think, Teddy, you mentioned then, one of the definitions of a play is, can we see the script being performed by another group of actors?
Yeah, I think a play has to have a play script that could be handed over to another group of actors that could recreate their own version of that play, but that it can have a life after the artist who made it did it.
Right. So then that, to me, raises two questions. Second City has sketches that are scripted, and then other Second City companies learn them, but they're short. There's not a long narrative. Now, I wouldn't think that's a play. So does it need to have a sort of a single narrative, or, you know, or two or three intertwining narratives that go the whole, you know, length of the show?
I think those remain sketch shows. I guess
a 10-minute play or a 5-minute play, right?
You know, oh, right. Are sketches 3 to 5-minute plays,
or yeah. Or you can see a sketch show in Edinburgh. There's a 2-person sketch troupe called Lazy Susan, and the characters reappear, right? And actually there sort of is kind of a wrapping up. Yeah. Is that a play? I don't think it's a play. I think it's a sketch show, but I also don't think there's a clear answer. Or how about this? What if there's no words? What if you're seeing a mask show, but you could train other movement-based actors to do it? Is that a play? I don't tend to think so, but if it's telling a story, maybe it is.
Yeah, I can't think of Blue Man Group telling a story.
I guess I'm thinking of Teddy and I saw, I think they call it Teatro Delusio in Edinburgh.
Okay.
And it's all set backstage at a symphony hall?
Or an opera.
Maybe an opera. Yeah. An opera house. And so the characters recur, and there's sort of a beginning and a middle and an end. It's funny, though, it doesn't quite feel like a play to me, but other than lack of words, I'm not sure that it isn't. Does it, you know, I'm not sure.
Tells a story.
I guess, can you see a theater programming it?
Well,
like a regional theater in America program.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's some, to me, I'm not completely sure. I'm not sure I disagree with Teddy, but I'm not sure I agree with him that somebody else has to be able to recreate it. I think I've talked myself into it. I think it actually is a silent mask play. Because there's a story.
Like you don't see typically Bill Irwin's shows performed by other people.
I don't think he does.
But I think you could.
Well, then you sort of get into a unique skill set that I'm not sure skill set.
Yeah. No. I mean, I saw you know, that famous production in the 80s of Waiting for Godot, or Godot, as they say here in the UK, with Steve Martin and Robin Williams and Bill Irwin, with a lot of clowns. And it really made me go, I only want to see productions of Godot with clowns. sounds now.
Yeah.
From not. Yeah. But anyway, that's what made me think that some of it is more. It's funny. I guess I like plays. We talked about how some of the shows we saw at Edinburgh were hard to categorize, and those are the plays. I tend to like the plays that are harder to categorize.
Yeah, I have a broad definition of what theater is, as I know you do, and my definition of what a play is narrower. But yeah, I don't know if I can define it.
Well,
Merriam-Webster, in its seventh definition of the noun play,
this is off the top of Teddy's head.
Yeah, it's the stage representation of an action or story, or B, a dramatic composition.
But then, and then does the line blur in terms of movement or dance?
Yeah.
You know, by that definition, a dance piece might be a play.
Well, and sometimes, you know, musicals can be, some are musical plays. And maybe musical play doesn't have dance in it. I don't know. Or maybe the musical play, like 1776 is a musical, but it's got more text in it, more scenes than many plays.
Yeah, I think a musical is a subgenre of play, right?
Yeah. Well, definitely. I mean, it's a story from beginning to end.
Yeah.
There's definitely a script that, you know, other people can perform generally. So I agree with that. What did you, have you mentioned this in a previous podcast? You thought one of the best pieces of theater you ever saw, not a play, was?
It was a concert by the rock band The Tubes back in 1976. And it incorporated not only their songs, which I love. I mean, The Tubes are very culty, but it was very theatrical. They had choreography. They had staging. They had monitors up that sort of commented on the songs being sung, or when the band was taking a break, were their own things. They had music videos. Again, in 1976, in a tiny club at San Francisco, Columbus. Columbus 360, the 360 Club on Columbus Avenue.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Does a play have? I mean, can you, if you look at sort of the structure of a play, then can you define it backwards? Exposition, inciting incident, rising action, climax, denouement. If it doesn't have that, maybe it's a sketch, or it's a sketch show or something else, as opposed to the dramatic structure that plays have.
Certainly here at the Fringe, and maybe amongst critics generally, a play is serious. You know, critics tend to like plays that are serious, and they look at something like what we do, and they go, oh, well, that's pantomime. Oh, well, that's vaudeville. Oh, that's whatever. Thankfully, audiences go, yes, please, let's see the funny thing and not the serious thing.
Well, yeah, and that's what got us talking on this subject, and then we were discussing if a show that we saw called Police Cops was a play or a sketch show. It's one story from beginning to end, three guys playing lots of characters.
Yeah.
That I was going to say was a play, but Reed was thinking it was, or was arguing that it was a sketch.
Yeah, and I think Teddy won me over, because it very much has the feeling of a sketch show, but as Teddy made the point, well, there's recurring characters, there's a story, there's conflict, the rising action, and it's kind of a resolution. I mean, it's sort of a takeoff on 70s U.S. cop film, and it also feels like sketch, because it's only three guys playing all the parts with minimal props and costumes.
And it's fast and loose in the approach, so it has that feel of kind of,
And it's very physical, and so in that sense, it doesn't feel like a lot of plays. I mean, that's my problem with a lot of plays, is like, I listen to it, but if I couldn't hear what they're saying, it's not very interesting. That, to me, that's like a bad play. I had a movement teacher in grad school, he said, a good play, you should be able to not understand a word that they're saying and follow the story. And that's very often not the case.
Or you could be listening to it on the radio, you know?
And it gets back to, you know, when I see theater, if I could watch it on TV and it would be just as good, I would rather watch it on TV. You know, we're all in the room together, and this is separate from what's a play, but it should be theatrical. You know, there should be stuff going on that is uniquely can only happen in a live situation. I so much prefer that.
Hi, this is Ellen Margolis, Chair of Theater and Dance at Pacific University in Oregon, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the next few weeks, the RSC UK is performing William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged in Letchworth, Basildon, Tunbridge Wells, Salisbury, Buxton, Sale, Glasgow, Kendal, Barrow, and at the end of March, we'll do five performances at Wilton's Music Hall, which will be the London premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Reed Martin and Teddy Spencer. And the question our conversation seemed to be inevitably leading towards. And it also raises the question, you know, are Reduced Shakespeare Company shows plays? Now,
yes, they absolutely are.
Okay, why? And why?
Well, they're published and other people do them.
Yeah. By that definition, for sure. I mean, many of our shows, we have sometimes called them sketch comedies with a theme or sketch comedies with a plot. In that we play because the overarching dramatic event is three idiots, the three of us, wanting to reduce a massive subject, and so that's the plot of the play.
Yeah, a topic that is so huge it would be impossible to do in 90 minutes, but we're too dim to realize it.
And the way we accomplish this plot is to do a variety of sketches that gets us through covering and through the covering understanding the large topic at hand.
Well, and some of our shows feel more play-like than others. Long Lost First Play Abridged, our newest show, definitely feels probably more like a play than any of our previous shows.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree.
What the work that I'm familiar with the company, though, I feel like they at least all the three idiots have a story arc, a character arc of their own that they experience through everything else that is happening as well, right?
It's so true. That's true.
Yeah. I think of a Bible show where, you know, I'm the most, you know, adamant. We try to have the characters go through some sort of development and be changed by the end. And yes, and you're right, Teddy. There's the sketches, but then there's stuff going on in between the sketches, and that's kind of what the play is.
Well, and even if it's not a play, you've got to treat it like a play. That's our job, to treat it like a play. Like the complete works of William Shakespeare, when I first joined the company, I approached it, I was playing my character, which was the character of a pompous Shakespeare professor who gets to finally perform Hamlet and is so in over his head he completely fails and he completely chokes on the to be or not to be. Except finally then he gets it right at the end with the rest of silence speech. So for me, that felt like a character that I could play all the way through.
Well, and I think the more play-like the structure is of our show, the less it has to be a laugh a second.
Yes.
If the audiences are involved in the three characters and the task at hand and the conflict and the obstacles, then they'll stay with you longer. And I'm feeling that in Long Lost, there's moments where it's just really nice acting and beautiful language. So if I said, does it have the same laughs per second as some of the other shows? No. Do audiences like it as well or better? I think the answer is yes.
I agree. It's and this is a thing we learned in the second act of the Hollywood show. People love a story, and as ridiculous as the plot of the second half of the Hollywood show is, they are really intrigued and involved with the plot of that story, as ridiculous it is. The plot of Long Lost Shakes is slightly less ridiculous, and they're way involved.
Well, and you could argue we learned it in the second act of the original Shakespeare show, which is Hamlet, from beginning to end.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, it just raises more questions. The more we talk about it, the more I'm unsure about.
You know.
Yeah, I go away and I think I figured it out, but then.
But you know what? I mean, I think there are being at the fringe. There are plays that can only be plays here because they can only be performed here. And many theaters across America and across the UK too don't have the facilities or the subscription base or whatever it is, the wherewithal to do the kinds of plays, in air quotes, that other plays, other venues could perform. And so I think it feels like venue and resources kind of factors in a little bit to what the event is.
Well, in length of show, we've seen the standard length at the Fringe is 1 hour.
Yeah, right.
Well, where do you book that? I mean, there are certain places you can do it, but it's not common.
That might be in a studio in a second or third space at the Steppenwolf or someplace.
Yeah, and then how do you market it?
Right.
And I mean, there's some things that I feel like I went to see a stand-up comedian, and maybe it was more of a play.
Right.
Chris Gethard,
yes,
who's a writer and comedian from America, does this show about, you know, he's had depression and various, you know, things going on in his life. And it was stand-up, but it was also kind of a play. So that's what's, as we probably said it before, but that's really fun about The Fringe, is there's a lot of things that you won't see anywhere else that are hard to define, that cross genres.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, had a narrative, had a story, you know, all those things. But yeah, that's the mashup of genres is one of the best things about The Fringe.
And Chris also had a great ending. And I think this will be a subject for another podcast, because some of the shows and plays we've seen at The Fringe were fine until the end, and they didn't quite stick the ending, because endings are hard.
Yeah. They are hard. Very, very hard.
Yeah.
It's just, I had a writing teacher who told me once, write your introductory paragraph and figure out how it finishes, and then worry about the middle. But it's hard to figure out how it finishes, and sometimes you think you know how it finishes, and then you get to writing, and it can't finish that way. And it's hard. It's hard to stick the ending.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your plays via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to Still Waiting to Read That Play He's Writing, Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Alexandra. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Ellen Margolis, a playwright and director and chair of theater and dance at Pacific University. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 535, 1605 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king!
24-hour farcical bordello doner kebab with dramatic overtones.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.